early service. With that portable pulpit, I was able to move it anywhere around, so some of those that thought they were in the back today ended up on the first row, and they had a wide awakening today. So when you got up there, I thought maybe since I didn't get around to turning this much to the choir that they were going to get mad at me and sing in front of me today. But it's good to be able to do that, and that was very appropriate. Jonah chapter 1, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but we're going to be looking at the whole chapter of Jonah. So now that you've got a little taste of what Jonah has done and what God can do, we're going to see what else we can do with that. Jonah chapter 1, we talk about God's pursuing love. As we think about that, the statement was asked, whoever and wherever you are, God's love is pursuing you. And as I thought about that, God is supposed to be everywhere we're at, right? And I knew that. God is always with us. But did we ever stop to think that not only is God there with us, but His love is there with us too? And sometimes we get the two separated, don't we? We try to say God is love, therefore God is with us, then love is with us. But do we really understand that sometimes? Max Lucado, or Lucado, whichever one you want to use in whatever area you come from, says you are valuable because you exist, not because of what you do or what you have done, but simply because you are. And then Philip Yancey says, there is nothing we can do to make God love us more. There is nothing we can do to make God love us less. And I thought those quotes were very appropriate to understanding God's pursuing love. As we look at Jonah, we look at this story here of Jonah. We know the story. Most of us have learned this story from childhood up, know the story, so I'm not going to go through and try to tell you the story. You know it. But what I am going to do is just share with you some brief history and then see how God's love for Jonah is also the same love that He has for us. Who is Jonah? Jonah was a prophet. Many of us have heard about him and heard about his preaching, but he was a prophet. We also know that he is the only prophet to refuse to carry out the mission. All those that God has called has gone. Saul went. John the Baptist went. Everybody you can think of as prophets went except for Jonah. Jonah refused and ran from God. But we also know that he was a great prophet and a great preacher. And we also know that through history, we also know that when Jesus changed Simon Peter's name to just Peter, he was what? Simon, the son of Jonah. See how Old Testament moves in together and works out. Simeon, son of Jonah. We see that even Peter denied Christ. He refused to help when it needed to do that. But we compare Jonah with Christ today, we see that he is a figure. Both were Galileans. Both were from the same area. Jonah struggled with his call to preach. Jesus struggled to do the will of the Father at Gethsemane. May this cup pass over me. Jonah tried to run from there. Jonah struggled with it. Jonah calls the storm to cease. You ever thought about that? What happened once they threw him over? The storm ceased, didn't it? Jesus also did what? Calls to sea to cease. Both were willing to choose death for the sake of others. Throw me over. I have caused this on you. Throw me overboard, and it will all be taken care of. And Jesus went to the cross for what? To die for our sins, to take care of it, didn't he? So you see, there are so many similarities. Jonah entered the jaws of a fish. Jesus entered the jaws of the cross. Both were in for 3 days, weren't they? 3 days in the belly of the well before it was spewed up. 3 days in the grave before he rose again. Both were raised up again by the Father, weren't they? And we see that Jonah's obedience brought forth in his preaching the conversion of a great city that was wicked. And Jesus' obedience led to the conversion of many people around the world. So you can begin to see just in one person God's pursuing love for each other. Today as we look at that, we are quickly going to look at three things. First thing is God's love pursues those who are against him, like the people of Nineveh. They were not happy with God. They didn't love God. They didn't even want to hear about God. Why not? Because they were living in a sin of wickedness. They were having so much fun. They were taking that eat, drink, and be merry very seriously, weren't they? And they had become known as a wicked town, a wicked city. Now, this wicked city, we also know as Nineveh, was a great city. It was probably one of the largest cities of the times. It was great in size, probably about 600,000 people is what they're estimating. How they base that, I don't know, but that's what the commentaries are saying. It was of great importance. Within 50 years, Nineveh would become the capital of the Assyrian Empire that would conquer all of the known world. So you can see why this town, this city, was very important. But it was also great in wickedness. Could very well say whatever it was doing, it was good at, wasn't it? It was good at doing sin. And so therefore, in verse 3, God has called Jonah to do it, and he says, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarsus. He called him to go to a great town of wickedness to begin to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God has called us into a great town of wickedness. There's a lot of things going on in our town that is sinful, isn't it? Drugs, alcohol, prostitution, bad mouthing one another. There's all kinds of killings and murders around us going on. There are a lot of things that are not God's seen, are they? So there's also a lot of things in comparison to Nineveh to even right here in Withal. And so as we think about that, God has called us to do what? Not just to come in here and sit here Sunday mornings and lift up his name and sing praises and sing the songs that we've done today and say, oh, that was real nice, and then go home and eat or go out and eat or meet with somebody and just have a great time. He has called us to what? Do the same thing as Jonah. Did Jonah really think he could hide from the Lord? Jonah did everything he could. Tarsus was known as being the farthest place from the center of the earth. It was as far as you could go in civilization and get away from everybody. So he headed to Tarsus. When he got on the ship, he tried to get down as deep down into that ship as he could, into darkness, so what? God wouldn't see him. Now for you and I, we probably wouldn't have seen him, would we? We don't hardly see things in our own rooms when they're dark, do we? Anybody ever stumbled over, stumped your toe on something, and praise God for it? God, why didn't you turn that light on or something so I could see? He hid from God in the darkest that he could get, as dark as he could get, as far as he could get. He ran. But, you know, David said this in Psalms 139, verses 7 through 10, but just the first phrase of it. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? Have you ever thought about it? How far can I do it? How far can I flee from God? How far can I get away from God? Where can I go that I can get away from God? Jonah found out you cannot get away from God. You can take a spaceship and shoot it up in the sky and go into the orbits and whatnot, but guess what? God is in the skies too, isn't he? He is in every planet. He is everywhere, folks. It everywhere. Anything that we have seen through telescopes or anything else that we've got, any spaceships that we've sent out and took pictures at, God is there too. There is no place that we can go that God is not there too. We can't hide from him. And I have heard testimonies over testimonies over testimonies of people that have tried to run from God. When God has called them, I know, because I'm like Paul, I was one of those. And God continued to show that love towards me. And why didn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? Have you ever thought about that? Well, yeah, it's a wicked place, right? Who wants to be in a wicked town? Who would want to be at a place that is so sinful? Can you imagine being a missionary and God calling you to Sodom and Gomorrah? Go preach there. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? God wiped it out. That's how wicked it was. But he tried to run from God because he did not want to go to Nineveh, which was a wicked town. He felt like Satan and the wickedness of that town and all of those people were more powerful than God was. And that God couldn't. Or could he? Jonah knew he could. But Jonah's thought was simply this: why should I go preach at Nineveh? Why should I go do that? Because if I go and preach God's words and I let him use me, that place might get saved. And that is a wicked town. They don't need saving. Have you ever heard people talk about somebody? That person's useless. There's no way God will ever save that person. Why should I even waste my breath on that person? We've done it, right? We can think of people right now that are just downright scums. There's no help for them. We've got people that are sitting in jail that are waiting to be executed, and they're not worth our time, are they? We don't need to share the gospel of Jesus to them. They murdered people. They did stuff that not consisted of love. Why should we waste our time on someone that bad? And this is exactly the thinking of Jonah. Why should I go to that wicked town? Why should I? And he says in verse 2, O Lord, this is not what I said when I was still at home. That is why I was so quick to flee from Tarsus. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Jonah's philosophy, what goes around comes around, right? You sinned, you didn't confess it, you deserve death. Isn't that right? How many times have we made that same statement ourselves about somebody? What goes around comes around. Well, they got exactly what they deserved. Right? If I understand the scriptures, God says that none of us get what we really deserve. Paul writes we all deserve death, doesn't he? But there's not a period there. There's a comma there. All deserve death, but the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ is salvation. We all deserve it, just as much as the people at Tarsus, just as much as the ones in Nineveh, Sodom and Gomorrah. Those all got it. We all should get it, shouldn't we? But Jonah says here, what? I knew, God, that if I went and preached, I knew your reputation. I knew that you were going to feel sorry. You were going to help them. You were going to show them your love, and this town would turn around and change. And therefore, I didn't want to do it. God's plan, as I prayed earlier this morning, and the prayer was simply this. The Great Commission tells us to go and to share the Word of God. We have become those missionaries, haven't we? And how much of Jonah is in us right now? If we're not doing what God has called us, we're trying to do the very same thing. And Jonah would rather have died than go to Nineveh. God's love is always undeserved. We don't deserve it. Have you ever had somebody give you something just to give it to you? Not because you deserved it, but because they loved you and wanted you to have it? I give my wife flowers occasionally, and she always looks to see what kind of occasion it is. She never thinks that I just gave them to her because I loved her. That's just not my style. If it's not a holiday, she don't get flowers. But what happens if I give her some between then? if I just give her some just because. She becomes suspicious of it, doesn't she? And God's grace, His love, is the same way. He gives it to us, not because we deserved it, not because we earned it, not because we got enough money to buy it or anything like that, but because He loves us. We deserve to perish. Secondly, God's love pursues those who are uninterested in Him, like the sailors. Everything was fine on the seas. They were going great, and all of a sudden this storm gets up. They all began to pray to their own gods, and nothing was changing. And then they happened to remember, where is Jonah? He wasn't praying. He was down in the very bottom, hiding. And when they brought him up, he began to explain. They became interested in our God because of what He could do. Their gods wasn't doing anything. They were praying and nothing was happening. Now, I'm not telling you that if you begin to pray, God's going to give you every answer you want the way you want it. That's not the way God works. God answers our prayers in His way, His time, His speed. Ours is basically, I got this problem, Lord, and I need to take care of this thing, and I need to get it before March the 15th. Can you do it? Isn't that basically what we want? God, I want it, and I want it now. But God says, no, I will still love you even though. In verse 16, He says, at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to Him. How many have made vows to Jesus Christ? Those that have invited Him into your hearts, you have made a covenant with Him, haven't you? That you would follow Him, that you would love Him. Just like when you do a wedding, you make those covenants. You make those vows to one another to what? Love and to cherish. Haven't we made those with God too? That we have promised to love and to cherish, to obey, to listen, to learn, to grow. God used the storm to force Jonah to witness. And that's what he did. He witnessed to those sailors, didn't he? This is what's happening. This is why it's happening. And this is what will happen if you listen to me. God is angry at me, not at y'all. And if you will throw me overboard, that will take care of y'all. Made him, forced him to what? Witness. Does God have to force us to witness? Or do we want to gladly do it? We shouldn't be as reluctant to not to share what God has done for us. And then finally, the last thing, God's love pursues us, those who are disobedient, like Jonah. How could God love somebody like that? I gave you an opportunity to help me out, and this is what you did for me? Isn't that our thinking? That's exactly what it is. And it's easy to dislike, hate someone as it is to love some. In fact, it's probably easier, isn't it? Oh, yeah, there's a handful we can love, but there's a whole heaping that we don't love, isn't it? We see that in all of our actions. We see it throughout the world. We see it with different tribes and other countries. We see it in different races and all of this other. We see not God's love, do we, but our hatred. But yet, God pursues those that disobey. Jonah kept going down and down and down. You ever taking your car into the shop thinking it's one thing? And the more they worked on it, it became this thing, and this thing, and this thing, and it got worse and worse and worse. Well, with Jonah, it was getting worse, wasn't it? He ran from God. He jumped on a ship, and he hid from God. He got thrown overboard. The chances of him living was what? Very slim. But God prepared a fish for him, and then he lived in that fish for 3 days. Now, I've gutted a few fishes in my life. And I can tell you right now, that is not one pleasant place to be. You know? That is not a place to be. And it would have been a whole lot easier for Jonah to sit there in that whale and that fish and say, God, look at this. But instead it says he was what? In prayer. He prayed because he knew that everything that happened was God's hand. And he began to pray. And as he prayed, God spewed him up. Spit him out on the land. Now, we're not going through the rest of the story, but there again, you would think with all of that that went on, being thrown overboard, swallowed by a fish, thrown back, you'd be a little bit more intent on doing what God called you to do, right? And he was. He preached. But later on it says what? He was mad. He was upset. Why? Because the people listened and took heart and had a change of heart and worshiped God. He still didn't learn, did he? All of that, and he still didn't listen. He listened enough to go preach, but his heart didn't change. We can always look like we love someone and not really love them, do you? We can tell people we love them and not really mean it. But God, when he says, I love you, he means it. I love you to the nth degree. I love you as much as love can be defined for us, and then more. Jonah thought he was through with God, but the Lord sent him out anyway, and he continued. Jonah thought he was going to die, but the Lord provided and prepared a fish for him. Folks, God is with us today. God is wanting us to do the very same thing that he asked Jonah to do, to go and to share. And if we are resisting something that God wants us to do, then we're sinning against God. We're rebelling against God. In the military, that would be called what? Anybody have an idea? A mutiny, wouldn't it? We are being mutants. We are disobeying God when we don't listen. Will you surrender your will to him today? I have said it before, and I will continue to say it until we see 100% out of it. God has not called us to come and to sit on these pews, these benches, to worship him and to leave, and that's all we have to do until next Sunday. He's not called us to do that. He has a mission for each one of us, and if we're not doing it, we should be on our knees in a dark place, in our closet, praying that God will reveal it to us so we can do it. And if we want to see this world change, if we want to see a better world than what we're seeing right now, that's the only way it's going to change on this earth. We can change it if we will take the power of God. Are you uninterested in what God is wanting you to do and being disobedient? He is there. And his love is still pursuing us. Whether we run like Jonah or not, God's love is still pursuing us, following us, and trying to be there for us. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for the example of Jonah that you gave to see that your love is real, that your love is strong, that your love is powerful. And Father, we need more love in this world today. It can only begin with us. You have already provided. You have already shown us examples of your love. Now, Father, we need to set the example too and show this world that our God is a God of love, a God that cares, a God that is concerned. Help us with filled hearts to go out and to love others as you have loved us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.